I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin, my darling, you know, we are actually recording on a Friday today. What are your plans for this upcoming weekend?
Well, I have some traveling coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Where in the world will Dustin Ross be?
Toronto.
I'll be
in Toronto this weekend.
The Renaissance.
Yep. And I also have to go home to Michigan, too. So I got a couple little travel coming up.
Okay.
You
want an underground, above ground railroad journey.
I am. Okay. My cousin passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Home. Yeah. So shout out to my cousin Deanna, her son Destin, his name was Destin. My name is Dustin.
Yeah.
He passed away, and Deanna is an amazing mother. She's a high school principal in Michigan,
beautiful.
Raised brilliant, smart, academic scholars. You know, her children are smart and well adjusted. Mm-hmm. So we suffered a little bit of a loss this week.
Y'all gonna celebrate the life.
Yeah, for Great. Sure. So rest Great. In peace, Destin, and much love to my cousin Deanna Ross.
Okay.
And you know my family, so travel week coming up.
Why did it just occur to me? Because isn't Diana Ross now from the Detroit area? Are y'all related
from she's from Detroit. I don't know if there's a link there, and I don't want to be that nigga. You know, we might be related to Diana Ross.
I'm gonna start telling people that. I really am, because I literally just put that shit together.
Uh-huh. If we are,
you kind of look.
It makes all the sense in the world.
It will make all
okay,
the superstar me superstar.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
what about you, E?
I'm chilling this weekend. Actually, this evening, I'm going to see our friends over at the Surface Level podcast.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to them. Yeah.
And I'm recording with the Butch Queens.
Wonderful.
I'm excited about this. We're going to get into that Black excellence scam of it all.
Shout out to Tony and DeMar.
Yeah.
Jordan. Shout out to Jordan. What's up, Jordan?
Yeah. So we will do that tonight. And then just a little light brunch with some sores and girlfriends over the weekend. And
Sounds good.
You know, rest and cuddle time with Miss Carrie James.
And beautiful abode. You give my love to me. I need to come see Miss
Carrie.
Yeah,
James.
She was trying to
ask me about you. She was like,
so I need to come see my girl.
I'm gonna bring her over to the crib.
She is more. You know, she can come tap them floors any day.
Yeah, and you know, she ain't gonna do nothing but lay down like this.
Right by me, she better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So speaking of weekend shenanigans, one of the kings of the culture and the fabulous life, Sean Diddy Combs.
Mm-hmm.
He is responding. This shit with him and this liquor company, Diageo, is getting real nasty, y'all. So we earlier reported on Holding Court that he was suing them for race discrimination. In response to that, Diageo dropped him, dropped him from the label, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And now Puff is responding back, really, you know, spilling the tea about how they tried to do a fucking
watermelon.
Okay, so we're going to get into that. Also, I could not talk about the fact that Jonathan Majors is now filing what we call a cross complaint against his accuser. I want to talk about why I think that's some interesting timing. I'm never mad at a cross complaint. And in fact, when you go back and you listen to the Holding Court episode, y'all, where Dustin and I first dissect this case.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned that I'm surprised we didn't see a cross complaint, right? Because normally when it is mutual, some level, any level of mutual violence between domestic partners of any genders, you'll see a cross complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop's like, well, you say he did this. He said you slapped the fuck out of him. We weren't here. We don't know what to make of it. We're going to file cross complaints and let the courts figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is interesting that we are seeing a cross complaint, Dustin, but several months after the fact. So we'll get into that. And then lastly, you know, we just had to kind of go here. This Philadelphia principal has rightly been fired as fuck for withholding a diploma from a young Black graduate.
Good. I can't wait
I knew
to
you
talk
would love
about
that
this.
One.
Yeah. Good.
When we're picking stories,
and it's Friday,
I already know when
so
Dustin's
already
gonna
know.
Get turnt. Yeah.
We're going to hell off this week.
All right.
I hate that. I wait. I'll just wait till we get there. I have very strong opinions about that story. So I'll
you
wait till we get
really?
There.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They look, burned me up.
Right.
When I knew
he was gonna be tight on that
I was
one,
hot.
Ashley.
I was so hot.
I said, we're gonna get this one right for Dustin. Okay. So starting with Puff, this has been really fascinating actually to watch from both the Sean Carter and his liquor partnership, which mm-hmm. looked like it was going to go left and then went very right, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where he was able to cash out to the tune of several hundred millions of dollars because they were able to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Bacardi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Puff, not so much. This was going left and has gone even further off ramp. So we talked about his original lawsuit against Diageo. This is a London-based company. This was his original partner for Ciroc, mm-hmm. which we know has been hugely successful mm-hmm. for both the company and for Puff. Now, one of the other products that they do together, which has not shared that same success as Ciroc, is De Leon tequila. Mm-hmm. Now, Dustin, you've had this tequila. You yep. partnered with it. You say yep. it's a totally fine product.
For sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, apparently, Diageo has decided to throw away their partnership with Puff. They have dropped him, so to speak, in response to the lawsuit that Puff filed against them, accusing them of racial discrimination. If y'all don't remember, Puff was basically saying that they just weren't treating De Leon like they were their other profiled tequilas, mm-hmm. which include Casamigos
and Don Julio.
And Don Julio, yep. which, I mean, they are the top tier. Like, if you go to any kind of commercial space, mm-hmm. right, whether it's a bar or a liquor store, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of like the mainstream yep.
premium
tequilas. Yep. Exactly, from an optics standpoint. Yep. So Puff was saying and claiming that his De Leon tequila was not getting the shelf positioning.
Mm-hmm.
It was not getting the distribution. It was just not getting even, he didn't even like the way the packaging looked on mm-hmm. the product, the label, the branding, the bottling. And he was saying that he felt it was because the parent company, Diageo, was shorting him, basically, D, to better serve the needs of Casamigos and Don Julio.
And Casamigos is
George Clooney and Randy Gerber.
Yeah, yep.
Also known as Cindy Crawford's husband.
Right. That's how you get husband really to a bad bitch,
listen,
Darius.
That part. Fumble that fucking bag.
Anyway.
So in response to the lawsuit, Diageo said, don't worry about it.
We'll do you one better.
Y'all couldn't
get
see
the hell
it.
On.
Dustin just okay. kicked him out the door, literally with his foot a mess. Diageo decided to go ahead and end that.
Dirty asses.
Right. So, and that's fucked up. Like, that's the definition of retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
When someone sues you and brings a legal claim, you should handle that like adults. You
yes.
know, you should hear them out. If you've got a rebuttal or you've got a defense, defend. But to just say, oh, we don't like the fact that you're raising the issue, so we want to just say, fuck it, not cool, Diageo. So, in a statement, Puff's lawyer says this. Diageo attempting to end its deal with Mr. Combs is like firing a whistleblower who calls out racism. Retaliation, as I just said. It's a cynical and transparent attempt to distract from multiple allegations of discrimination. Over the years, he has repeatedly raised concerns as senior executives uttered racially insensitive comments and made biased decisions based on that point of view. Diageo even acknowledged the problem by agreeing in his contract to treat De Leon the same way it treated its other tequila brands.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the lawsuit to force them to live up to that contract, and instead they responded by trying to get rid of him. This lawsuit and Mr. Combs are not going away. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm not mad at this at all. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to partner with De Leon several times on some social campaigns, mm-hmm. But I believe every word Diddy has said. Now, we know damn well the only reason that Ciroc was as successful as it was because Diddy was the face of that brand.
Yeah, because it was really whack.
That's why it was, and that's why we all suffered through it mm-hmm. and drank it back when we did. You know what I mean? And
Well, we could have been drinking Kettle One or Grey Goose or Belvedere or something of
easily.
Higher quality. But you're right, because of the brand. I mean, I've been at many a bar ordering that nasty-ass Ciroc coconut.
Yep, Ciroc coconut. I used to drink mine straight or with
Me
a little
too.
Special pineapple.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. And the red berry came out.
Totally. They got that summer shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all of that. Some sores bought that shit the other girl. But
we drank it because
we drank it literally to be in proximity to Diddy. And this is going to be weird what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. It also made me feel connected to Andre Harrell.
I understand completely.
But you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a part of that ghetto fabulous.
I completely understand
life.
The connection.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I wanted to participate in that. So thus, Ciroc.
And that, to me, demonstrates the value that he added in that partnership. So Why did they let De Leon fall by the wayside? Mm-hmm. Did he? I've seen him several times promoting that tequila brand.
Absolutely.
He
always has it. It used to be at Revolt Summit.
Oh, my God. It was all over Carissa, Please.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, he definitely, to me, showed up in support of the
brand.
As
a partner. No, absolutely he did. And, I mean, there's nothing to me that even looks remotely fishy or convoluted around the obvious claim that y'all shitted on my tequila brand because y'all had chosen favorites mm-hmm. of your tequila portfolio, which happened to be led by white men, mm-hmm. and my brand suffered because of it, mm-hmm. period. So let's settle that claim. Let's compensate me for that claim. Let's change some business practices as a result of the claim.
Right.
As his lawyer said in the statement, we filed the claim to make you make good on your own promise to mm-hmm. do right by me and this brand. That's not an invitation to end the partnership, sir.
And the fact that you did is very telling to me if this thing goes
it's
to trial.
It's retaliatory.
Come on.
Period.
That wasn't smart on their behalf legally.
No,
at all.
So now, and you notice his lawyer keeps saying their attempt to end the partnership. Like you might have done this, but they mm-hmm. about to run it right on mm-hmm. back in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So
as they should get money, Diddy. I ain't mad at it.
That's it.
Take it as far as it can go.
I love it too. The president of Combs Global says this. It's absurd, and I want to say that's a woman.
Good.
Which is great. Yep. Yeah, I will say Puff is pretty fucking good about hiring extremely smart, talented women to run his shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd for Diageo to suggest that a black person should be quiet and accept racism or discrimination because they earned a lot of money. Mm. Sean Combs is a spirits pioneer who has accomplished historic success with Ciroc. He will always fight to be treated fairly. And there's some really important subtext in that statement, D. If you remember when we first covered it, Diageo was saying shit like, we respect Mr. Combs as a talent. Like they were, you know, they were just throwing little shade, like mm-hmm. basically Negro, mm-hmm. you out of turn. Mm-hmm. You're speaking out of turn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get out of your place.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and dribble, as
right.
you mentioned,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You're a rapper, you're a producer, you stay over there and let us business people handle the business.
Mind you, they sell liquor, but go ahead.
Right. Meanwhile, y'all are bootleggers.
The audacity, right? Makes you think you can assume a haughty position of superiority here.
Right.
And you motherfuckers sell liquor.
Right. Y'all half a step from bootlegging.
Come on now.
So it's good on Puff for this one. I think this is obviously retaliatory on the part of this company. And I think we all see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be pretty open and shut. Puff, I don't think they'll come back from this in the way that Sean Carter and Bacardi were able to repair.
Figure things out.
Yeah, I think this is now a little too messy.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to when they, quote, ended the partnership, that's when Pup was like, okay, well, now let me tell it.
He let the chopper sing at that point. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was like, y'all back door were so insensitive to the cultural competency of my brand and my following that y'all literally tried to put out a fucking watermelon flavored mm-hmm. Ciroc, in which Puff or someone on his team or both had to pull their coattails, as my mother would say, and let them know the egregious history of associating black folks and watermelon, going back, of course, to the minstrel show
mm-hmm.
era of the stereotypes of us shucking and jiving mm-hmm. for the sake of chicken and watermelon. You know, and these are the missteps, Dustin, that you and I have seen companies take over and over and over again. And then when we call them on their shit, instead of being apologetic and corrective, they actually get nasty.
Yeah, and make it worse. That's fine. Let's take that shit to trial. Like that rapper, Mr. Big, take that shit to trial.
That's it.
Let's take it to trial then, mm-hmm. and let's see what's up.
We'll see what's up.
Because this is very black and white to me.
Very much so. much like our color coordination here in the studio
today. How about
today.
That? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Diageo want Puff to open up the record keeping. I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Too late, because, bitch, you got one time to play with me like that. You telling me you kicking me out
yeah.
and you wrong as hell? Okay, well, let's play the game then. And Puffy got the resources to play the long game legally with them.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Yeah, I think they didn't mess with the wrong one. You know, Puff like litigation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and to your point, you know, there are certain, when you get to that mogul status, whether it's Byron Allen, whether it's Jay-Z,
yeah.
whether it's Puff, as we talked about, whether it's Beyonce, as we've seen, these people are not afraid of no litigation.
Mm-hmm.
How can they be? You don't get to billionaire status being no punk when it comes to litigation. So here we go. Let's go. Now, this one is a little more unfortunate.
Mm.
Jonathan Majors, y'all know, has been charged with some very severe domestic violence charges as it relates to a young woman he was formerly in a relationship with. We now know her name, Grace Jabari.
Mm-hmm. Say her name. Grace Jabari. Uh-huh.
So this was March 25th of this year here in New York City, downtown vicinity. They got into it in some way. I remember her initial allegations. She was choked.
And he broke her finger or some shit.
Something not good. Okay. So then he was arrested. He was released on his own recognizant, which I flagged for y'all jurors.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a tell. It says a couple things. It says that they don't think of him to be a significant flight risk. And it also says that for whatever reason, they don't feel that he will cause additional harm if kept out. So he has been released. Obviously, he's been released because he's been going around the world with his new girlfriend, Megan Good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is good for her, regardless of her feelings for him, which may be valid. I just think there is something to be said for keeping a really low profile. Mm-hmm. This is just my legal advice and experience, Dustin, whether you're guilty or not or something in between. I just think it's always best for all parties involved to maintain a really low profile during the adjudication phase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once this is done, whatever that is, not guilty, case dismissed, guilty, probation, whatever the outcome of this case is, once that is adjudicated is the legal term, you and Megan Good go fucking fly to fucking space with Bezos. I don't give a fuck what y'all do.
Yeah.
But I don't like the public nature of them parading the relationship and going public in the midst of this cloud hanging over the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, I would be much more concerned with, I understand that maybe, I know Megan personally, so, you know, much love to her.
I always said I would like her to play me in the feature film.
She would be an incredible Ebony K. Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
yes. So shout out to Megan, but I just hope the best for her. And I do agree with you that during these types of times, you know, keeping a low profile is best.
It's best for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's best for Jonathan. Like, if I'm Jonathan's lawyer, I'm like, sir, I don't give a fuck if you are dating, you know, Princess of Black America, Megan Good, or Meghan Markle. Negro, sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
Just sit the fuck down.
Sit your ass down.
Sit your ass down.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, go do some community service so I can take this shit to the judge and try to make this shit better for you. Anyway, so back to this new countersuit. So now Jonathan Majors has said, let me go ahead and file this cross complaint. He's done this with New York Police Department. He's filed his own domestic violence complaint against Grace Jabari, in which he alleges, and I think that's why we finally know her name now, is through his complaint. Because remember, before she was just accuser. But he's, cited her in his complaint. He alleges that she attacked him, not the other way around, which has been his legal defense publicly since this thing first went down. He does remain charged. So his charges are still pending, but now she's got charges pending. She alleged that Jonathan Majors broke her finger, twisted her arm, struck her in the ear, and caused it to bleed. He's denied all those allegations. We've got an August 3rd, that's coming up soon, trial date set in her case against him. We will await a trial date for his case against her. So now that's what a cross complaint is, y'all. It's when basically the parties are the same, but the nature of the charges are reversed. So he's a defendant in one. She's the defendant in the other. The state of New York is the plaintiff in both. Hence the cross complaint nature. Now let's go back to this. He was in court on June 20th. Then the next day, he woke up and went down to the Chinatown precinct and gave his own police report of what happened that night. He alleged the following. Ms. Jabari was drunk and hysterical, that she scratched, slapped, grabbed his face, causing him pain and bleeding, according to a domestic incident report and a sworn affidavit obtained by the insider. As far as that sworn affidavit, y'all, you know, when you go to file a police report, that sworn affidavit part is where the magistrate makes you, you know, swearing a Bible that you are being truthful. That's all that is. All right. A second. NYPD precinct, the one that covers his penthouse. Okay, penthouse. Mm-hmm. In Chelsea is also involved in investigating his count. So there's an investigation ongoing, y'all, against the girlfriend, ex-girlfriend Jabari. Both precincts found probable cause to arrest her. Ding, ding. That's a flag. So they didn't just take his sworn affidavit. There was probable cause, whether that is, I have to imagine, hospital records or some type of medical records, probably showing injuries. Perhaps he had photos on his phone of his scratches and bleeding. Go ahead.
Well, I read that his lawyer said, which I thought was important, and I want to talk to you about that, because all the accounts that I read of the new information that's coming forward regarding her being violent with him or not being necessarily the most truthful about what she what was wrong with her.
Right.
They said there was video footage of her. They, I guess it was a finger on her right hand that she said he broke.
Okay.
And there was footage of her after the alleged incident in a club, moving her hair behind her hand with that with that hand.
Suppose and broken hand.
Moving around freely, you know, without any sign of, you know,
injury.
In addition to some other eyewitness accounts, again, this came from his attorney, right?
Right, right.
Eyewitness accounts from the Uber driver, people who were outside, all those things that identified her, Grace Jabari, as the aggressor.
She's the aggressor.
And the person who was being violent. So my question to you, though, E,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Because I noticed that the, let me go back. So once all this new information started coming out that there may have been evidence that
evidence.
Painted her as the accuser, painted her as the aggressor rather.
Yeah.
I saw that that information was, even though it was coming from different media outlets, it was from statements from his lawyer, right? So people are now questioning the validity of that. How
because
do we know
from his
camp,
lawyer.
Right? Yeah. So what is what do you make of that, E?
You know.
Being that she was arrested, actually.
Well, right. I mean, listen, that's. The key word you said there is evidence, right? So this is not just Jonathan Majors' word, which would not really have much credibility. But when you talk about evidence, that's different. That's something that can be proven in a court of law at the right time. Now, there's mixed feelings, to answer your question, D, in the legal community around lawyers kind of talking at the side of their neck pre-trial.
Pre-trial. Okay. Okay.
But let me tell you what's mixed about it. Some people say, lay low, keep it playa, as you would say, and the time to raise that evidence and start talking, telling your side
is at trial.
But there are others that say, and the late, great Johnny Cochran really would probably be in this second camp, to say, trial is too late. Motherfuckers, the trial has started. The court of public opinion has commenced. And there is a school of thought, Dustin Ross, that says that it is your job as defense counsel to zealously advocate for your client by any means necessary. And that could include putting your version, your narrative, your side of the story out for public consumption or at least consideration on the front end of a trial, jury selection, wherever, whatever that's about to be. So there's no right or wrong. It wasn't my style when I was practicing, just because I think there's also a lot of risk of harm when you do that, because now, you know, you're putting your cards on the table, so to speak, in advance, and that creates opportunity for people to poke holes further. So to me, you got to weigh that, I guess, is my answer. You got to weigh that. In this particular case, I kind of see why, but ultimately, the good news here is this, y'all. The truth will come out because people are talking about provable evidence. We're talking about whether it's forensics, whether it's talking about video, whether it's talking about photograph evidence, whether I'm sure both of them, if these injuries were as damning as they both allege, had some type of medical treatment.
Well, they also, Ebony, said that they have body cam footage from the officers who arrived on the scene, suggesting that they were suggesting to Grace Jabari that she say that he did these injuries or he, you know, caused this harm to her.
Coaching her.
And they have body cam footage, allegedly, per his attorney.
Per his attorney.
Of these officers, the arriving officers, commenting on the grandiose nature of the penthouse and, how is they living here and all that other shit from the body cam footage.
Which I can see.
So, you know
what I'm
saying?
There's no doubt that, like, listen, none of this shit's happening in a vacuum, Dustin. You know, the fact that this is an interracial couple. Let's start with that. I mean, this goes back to the origins of American history, right? This big, dark, black, Afro-featured man with this relatively small framed white perceived fragile
damsel
woman.
Damsel in distress.
Right. That's at play.
Fake ass damsel in distress, allegedly.
Thank you for that. That's at play. Then this black man has the audacity to be wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's at play.
Mm-hmm.
Famous. That's at play. Like, so all of these dynamics are going to be at play here. What my spidey senses are telling
Come
me.
Come on.
And I felt this from the beginning. I think that Jonathan Majors probably put his hands on this woman in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe Grace Jabari put her hands on Jonathan Majors. Probably first.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we've seen this story before.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, guess what? Jonathan Majors was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Grace Jabari, I believe, was wrong. I will predict that these cross complaints will be mutually dismissed
mm-hmm.
pre-trial, and both parties will be probably served protective orders to stay away from each other for probably a year. That's how I expect this to play out.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting to see, because we know that Jonathan Majors was literally reaching a career high.
Jeez, I know.
He had all the attention of the world. He had literally the whole world.
Global, yeah.
So
that Marvel shit is not to be played with.
This will be interesting.
But I will say, to their credit, I suppose, Disney was one of the few major ventures that he was partnered with that I believe to this day has not totally disregarded him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Which is very good, especially if he's innocent. If he's innocent.
Yeah, but so let's talk about that just for 1 second before we move on to this final story. If he's innocent, yes. But here's... I'm taking a beat because what I'm about to say is going to probably hit difficultly for some to receive. But just hear me out. Hold the space for this.
Okay.
Let's say he is innocent. There is something to be said, and while everything is not foreseeable, Dustin,
mm-hmm.
there is something to be said for, especially when God is ascending you.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me just go here. When you know that you have planted the seeds of ascension, you know, we were talking about mulch earlier. I had to just cut it for a minute. But when you know that you have done the work,
mm-hmm.
when you know that you have, in Jonathan Majors' case, availed yourself to the great thespian training of Yale School of Drama, you have done the theater, when you have worked your way up from bit part to bit part, and now, you know, God is really just jacking you on up to the highest heights of your potential. I do want to say that you need to this is just auntie energy talking, and really lived experience. This is what happens when you get to be about 40.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like really move a little more carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to really fucking watch. I mean, really watch who you're around.
Yeah.
You got to really watch the spaces in which you are
mm-hmm.
seen
yep.
and occupied. You know, you almost have to, and I'm not really one to spread paranoia, Dustin Ross, but you do kind of almost have to operate in a little bit of a protective bubble.
Absolutely.
Right? Because there's going to be, you know, the higher God takes you, the more active the enemy becomes.
Mm-hmm. The more vulnerable you become.
The more vulnerable you become, the more at risk
mm-hmm.
you become and everything you're building becomes.
You need to be conscious of risk management.
So that's my point. Thank you for saying it plain.
Yeah.
Risk management. So I think there's a cautionary tale here for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic abuse aside,
mm-hmm.
when you know your winning season is upon you, especially, just be a little more careful.
That's just, you're right.
You know what I mean?
You know I know.
I know you know, and so you know right. I know yeah. you know, and yeah. you know I know.
Yep.
Cause I know.
Yep.
Okay, and this last story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm it ain't nothing.
We just gonna go on.
It ain't.
We just gonna go on. That's what we gonna do.
You said we gonna go on home.
We gonna go on.
Oh, cause I'm like, I ain't ready to go
no,
home.
No, we gonna go on.
Oh, yeah, I ain't ready
home.
To go home.
We outside any
right.
damn way. Okay?
I don't want to go on home to right. the upper room.
No, we going on. We ain't going on home.
I thought you was. That's why I thought
no,
you
let
was.
No, let me steer the car. Okay, we ain't going. Let me look. Let me back up.
Oh shit, you scared me, Dustin. Up. That's the okay. second time you just scared me this episode. I said, ah, shit, that's the taking us on up to the upper room.
Not yet, goddamn it.
All right, okay. We got some more things to do, like this last story. Okay, so this Philadelphia High School principal. Ooh. I don't know when these white women going to realize that there's film recording everything and you just can't move like you used to move these days. Last month, a leader of a Philadelphia High School for Girls, so this is actually a very prestigious school, Lisa Mezzi is her name.
Her last name would be Messy, right?
Because that's what she is, Messy. Came under fire when she had the audacity to withhold diplomas from at least two graduates. There may be more. Messy, who served as the academy's chief leader since 2019, made the controversial decision due to the young ladies allegedly not adhering to the no outburst rules that were put in place for the ceremony. So let's talk about it. According to 17-year-old Hafasa Abdul Rahman, Lisa Mezzi told the students that their loved ones would not be able to cheer or even to clap for them as they walked across the stage to receive their diplomas. Out of excitement, two of these teens, Miss Abdul Rahman and Salima Birch, they were said to have been doing this little giddy dance, and we've seen video of it. It's actually extremely cute to
and
me.
Harmless.
It's adorable.
It wasn't even disruptive, but go ahead.
It's cute. They're doing a little hair flip. You know, they're excited because they are graduating from a very prestigious high school and presumably going on to great things. So that, guess what? It was so cute that the crowd laughed at it because it was these two cute little girls being cute. Because of this, Messi forbade the retrieval of their diploma. So this is her withholding their diplomas amid
literally,
the event. Literally, like
on the stage in front of everybody.
Yeah, embarrassing them. She's trying to punish them. And one of the young ladies said that. Said that Principal Messi stole the moment from me. And I will never forget that. She later added, I understood the rules because I was saying shush in the video. Don't say anything because I want my diploma. And I knew that we weren't supposed to do it. One of them concluded by mentioning that fellow students who were seemingly given their recognitions even after, that they received their diplomas, even though they were blowing kisses and waving. So behavior that was derivative of the same energy. And she expressed that she was humiliated, Dustin, because she failed to receive her diploma on behalf of her late sister, and that took joy away from the special occasion. Extremely sad. The District of Philadelphia says this, the school district, the district does not condone the withholding of earned diplomas based on family members cheering for their graduates.
Period.
We apologize to all families and graduates who were impacted, and we are further looking into this matter to avoid it happening in the future.
That's right.
However, the Girls High Alum Association said something quite different. They stood with the principal, Dustin. Principal Messi clearly communicated the guidelines and regulations for the ceremony and added dose of warmth and humor. The school was established in 1848 and it's known for its conservative beliefs. An interim principal has been named. Go off.
First of all, I remember vividly at my big age, adults like her, when I was an adolescent and a teenager in public school who went out of their way to make it harder for the student body. And to this day, as I'm a big grown ass adult, I go out of my way.
Big
I remember
fine,
that.
Fine, man.
Thank you, Ebony, because you a fine motherfucker too.
Back that ass.
Okay.
Up. Okay.
But I remember, I'm conscious of that today in the way that I move and engage with younger people, in the examples I set, in being understanding of their experience. You got to remember that shit as an adult.
Absolutely.
And who is she with her steamy, rancid underarms and gross neck, hot, stanking under that robe to try to embarrass those little girls who are happy and on the brink of young womanhood and entering a new phase in their life at a point when you should be affirming these girls. Let's not even talk about the fact that these were high school students during what? The pandemic.
That's it.
Who
made
have
it.
This graduating class has so much to celebrate and to
be proud of. Yes.
And you're choosing to set an example. Look at what you're showing these kids. You're an educator, man. You're working in the administration of an educational institution, which is supposed to be lauded as, you know, one
of
the
best
schools
best.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and you up there. When I saw her shake her head and hold, I wish them little girls would have snatched that fucking diploma from her and
she
kept it moving.
Around and found out.
Yeah, like I remember hating people like that.
Yeah.
And when I looked up at there and saw her looking like that blob, you remember in Weird Science when they turned the brother Chet into that big blob of shit, mm-hmm. and he was bubbling and burping
totally.
Up. That's what she looked like on that stage.
Well, that's what her spirit was.
That's
giving.
What that her nasty evil spirit mm-hmm. trying to break these young girls' spirits who were showing excitement. Mm-hmm. You should be if you can't stand them that much. You should be happy they're leaving anyway, and
that
you
part.
Should be the first one handing off their diploma. Mm-hmm. I think it was a very poor example that she set. I'm glad that the internet is on her ass
yep.
and embarrassing her the same way
she tried to embarrass those girls.
Children.
Yeah.
And she's getting exactly what she deserves. Get her the fuck out yep. of a position of leadership because she's not qualified to lead. That was wrong.
It was wrong. It was dead wrong. And you said something important there, Dustin, which is lead. And she's not a leader.
No.
Because no one's following her. What she is an authoritative monster.
Mm-hmm.
She is somebody who is more concerned with expressing and flexing and abusing authority.
Yep.
Than
getting
you
rocks
are
off.
With, correct. You exactly. You getting your rocks off. You're feeding your ego,
mm-hmm.
messy ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Through the backs of these sweet young girls because they quote defied your who the fuck are you? So let's back it up too. So you know I was blessed with the opportunity to give the commencement at Benedict College 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you know everybody says that because listen we understand it's graduation day.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a long day. It's an exciting day. It's a wonderful day. It's gonna be a long day. We got a lot of graduates. Everybody and their mamas literally. Everybody
Literally.
And their mama
mm-hmm.
is excited to see their child's name called, march across the stage, and get their paperwork, okay? And depending on the size of the student body, that could take 2 hours. I've seen it take 7 hours,
mm-hmm.
okay? So understandably, the president of Benedict says the same thing that all these so-called academic leaders say, you know? Everybody, let's just hold our applause till the end and da-da-da-da-da. Shit.
Hello. You know the vibes, okay?
Listen, when
we're
I tell
crazy.
You, them cues was hopping across that stage, about broke that fucking stage.
Yep.
My soles was skiwing down yep. to the paperwork. And guess what? Guess what that president did? Guess what the board of trustees that was seated behind me did? Guess what the Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr.,
mm-hmm.
who was seated beside
Come
me,
on.
Who gave honorary remarks, and also alongside me, Dustin Ross, received an honorary degree that day.
Come
we
on.
We put our hands together,
mm-hmm.
and we clapped for those young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed the spirited energy alongside them,
mm-hmm.
because it's a day of celebration of tremendous accomplishment.
Hello.
And when you are pro-student, that's what the fuck you do.
Let me tell you how we need to implement stricter background checks on. Mm-hmm. First of all, we need to.
You said this before. I love this idea.
We need to pay educators more.
You get what you pay for.
It needs to be regulated by the government. They need
yep.
to be paid far more, and there also needs to be a much more rigorous background
screening.
Check and screening process mm-hmm. for these people who are responsible for shaping the minds of the next generation.
Absolutely.
And bitches like her, because that's what she was.
Totally.
A big old
Acting
bitch.
Like a bitch ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Bitches like her don't have no right.
Yep.
And no, they don't have any business
being
in a position like that to withhold a diploma from those graduates. That is
totally
not
agree.
The example that you want to set for people that's going. Why would you send these young girls out into the world with a chip on their shoulder for people in positions of authority? Why wouldn't you lead with love?
Trifling as hell.
Yeah.
Trifling as hell. Like you said, getting her rocks off, feeling away. I'm not going to think that it's not totally unrelated that those were two young girls of color.
That's not lost on me, baby.
Yep.
At
know.
All.
And I think there is a distaste by some white folk as to the celebratory
mm-hmm.
nature
mm-hmm.
of
How
cultures of people of color.
Yeah.
You know, we and that's across the board for people of color.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, I was just in India, you know, they turn the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just what it is. In Africa, we turn the fuck up. In eight parts of Asia,
they
we
turn
the fuck
up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I think that is, you know, when you can't participate in that
mm-hmm.
energy, Dustin, because you don't know about that energy,
mm-hmm.
you feel excluded from that energy. So you want to flex. Well, that's what you flex your ass right out of that position, man.
As you should. May
yeah.
you rot. May you rot.
May you rot.
Straight up. May the
I love
may
it.
The may she rot. I can't I have no room for mm-hmm. adults like her.
No.
I think that is the problem with the world today.
Mm-hmm.
is that people take advantage of positions of authority like that in stupid ass ways like that.
Yeah, in ways that they really just undermine the culture. Those young ladies will never get that day back. Yes, of course they will get their degrees. And unfortunately, you know, we saw something similar, had some differences, but I didn't like what there was a HBCU, I want to say it maybe was FAMU, that tried to withhold a young lady's diploma because she took some photos that they didn't like. Do you remember this story?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't like that shit either.
Yeah, me either.
Here's the thing about that, y'all. Let's be very fucking clear. Once a student has completed the coursework,
mm-hmm.
it's done.
That's it. It's not up to you. I understand the prestige of these
institutions
and shit.
But guess what? We're not going to play respectability politics, Dustin Ross.
Not when I pay for this.
When I pay for this and when I earned this. The time to withhold my degree was before the test was turned in, bitch.
Motherfucking right. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
After that part, give me my fucking paperwork.
This is not how you communicate to younger people that education
is important
mm-hmm. and the right path, and that's something that will lead them to happiness. That's not the messaging that you
No,
are.
It was punitive. When she, like you said, yeah. she did this right here, trying yeah. to hold it. You're trying Ooh, to punish
I'm
them.
I'm getting mad now.
Just thinking about it.
Ebony, you know I hate shit
Well, Dustin
shit
loves
like
the kids. First of all, Dustin loves the kids.
I do.
So, and I know you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they are right for me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like... But you know what I'm saying? Like this is what
terrible.
Life is about. And if you keep living, like people will see that.
Yeah.
Things change. The cycle of life, it never stops.
Yeah.
So why waste your time mm-hmm. trying to
flex
and make these kids be something that they're not?
She's a hazer. And let me tell you something. Time's up on that type of hazing shit. Like you
it's
said,
just not, like,
the world is evolving. And guess what? Those young ladies are going to get their happy with or without you, ma'am. They're going to get their success
Broomhilda.
With or with
right.
that part.
Ooh.
Whew, well, good thing she's bye-bye.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
See ya. See ya, Sally. We don't care. May the dear, what that lady say that was, you seen that crazy ass pastor who was giving that sermon, we'll say, about people going to the Beyonce concert and how Beyonce's
God.
Fans were a coven. But what she did say that was funny, she was like, may the dealings of the Lord be upon you. I said, oh, I'm taking that.
Right, the dealings
okay?
of the Lord.
May the dealings of the Lord be upon that woman.
Messy.
That messy woman, okay?
With her musty ass. I'm going to call musty her
musty. Musty ass, rancid neck, sour foot, cankle under that robe. My God. I can't stand her liver spot having ass. I cannot stand people like that.
No, but you know what?
What those a people, poor example.
But those people always get what's coming to them, baby. That's mm-hmm. why her ass is what? Probably on Indeed. As
That's
we
right.
speak right
That's
now.
Right. That's
looking
right.
for a motherfucking gig.
With glasses on, because you know the bitch can't see. Let me stop.
Because
our show
yeah,
is dignified.
Y'all see, he go take it all the way there, y'all. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Holding Court. Join us again next week. We'll be back in session.
That's
in the meantime, we don't want y'all musty like messy bitch.
Nope.
So wear your deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and moisturize sunscreen. Mm-hmm. It's time to just layer up mm-hmm. on product.
It's time to, for real. And it's also time to layer up on chilling the fuck out
mm-hmm.
and being an example for the next generation, mm-hmm. showing them the way. Whitney said that.
Yeah.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. You got to show them first, honey.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's not by being an evil warthog on stage, okay?
No, child.
Read your terms and conditions.
Bye, y'all. Holding Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swegg. And marketing lead, Samira Still.